Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my unique privilege to welcome a very successful entrepreneur, a close friend, and a YPO buddy from the Philippines, Mr. Eduardo Delgado. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashu. Happy to be here, and I hope that we are able to do justice to your show.
I'm sure you will. So Ed is the chairman of Del Bros, which is a business group that is engaged in supply chain. They have a joint venture with UPS. They're in chassis leasing and repair. They're in waterfront container leasing. Ed is very passionate about the Boy Scouts Council. He's on the National Executive Board, and he's from UPEN. So, Ed, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
Milestones. Well, in the business milestone, I would say my UPS joint venture that I started as a service partnership in 1988, okay, and became a full joint venture by 1997. As of today, we are the longest joint venture partner of UPS in the whole world. In terms of personal, I would say my having had a major role in updating our youth program in the Boy Scouts of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. The first time was in 1994, and the next time was just the last couple of years, and it's still ongoing program change, but we're now addressing the new Generation Z, is that what it's called, perhaps? Okay. So we're having to deal with that, especially now with COVID. We're having to go head over heels figuring out how do we go into a Boy Scout, how would you say, training, which is usually hands-on, and try to do it virtually. So it's a big challenge at this time.
Wonderful. So since you're speaking about Boy Scouts, let's speak a little bit more about Boy Scouts. You've been associated with the organization since 1992. Tell me about the work this organization does in the Philippines.
Well, pre-COVID, mm-hmm, we are about 2.5 million members, mm-hmm, of which 2 million are young adults, a mix of boys and girls. Mm-hmm. We basically try to develop their values by using the Scout method. And the Scout method primarily is hands-on. Mm-hmm. We teach you various skills that you will find helpful in developing your personality, your physical skills, your creativity, and a number of other very, I think, important aspects of education that is not school-based.
Okay.
And that's been our thrust.
Okay. And my next question on Boy Scouts is that how is the Boy Scouts important for the youth of Philippines? What does it do for them?
Well, I always believe that any scout who achieves at least the third rank, mm-hmm, which is a first class scout in our scout organization, mm-hmm, is already a scout in his heart and will remain so for the rest of his life. And I think that those scouts make very good leaders. They are very successful typically. Mm-hmm. And if you reach the Eagle Scout rank, it's almost like those guys are excellent. All the astronauts during the Apollo program, mm-hmm, and up to pretty recent, we're all Eagle Scouts. So, mm-hmm, you could imagine what that could mean.
Amazing. So let's now come to your business, Del Bros. I'm assuming Del Bros came from Delgado Brothers.
That's correct.
That's what I was thinking when I saw the name. So, you know, I did talk a little bit about your businesses, but I'd like to hear it from you. What are the various businesses that you are in?
Well, okay. The biggest part would be the UPS joint venture because that's a pretty large company. Mm-hmm. We handle all the deliveries and pickup of UPS International express parcels and documents from around the Philippines, in and out of the Philippines. The second one would be our chassis leasing, which we now have specialized chassis. Usually it's for skeletal, that's how it all began, mm-hmm. which carries 20-foot and 40-foot containers around the streets of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. But now we have specialized cane carriers, other produce carriers, mm-hmm. and we now even have refrigerated vans okay. with generators to help with the movement of fruits and mm-hmm. vegetables. So that has been quite interesting. That's been a business that was started in 1981. Mm-hmm. And then we're now venturing into actual vegetable farming. Okay. The difference is we use a very small size property, something like a 300 square meter property, and we build 5 stories worth of vegetables.
Wow.
Farm. And it is aeroponics. Mm-hmm. It is a Israeli technology mm-hmm. that doesn't dip the roots in water, mm-hmm. but instead the solution is sprayed onto the roots of the vegetables, mm-hmm. and they're vertically stacked. And it's all fully automated, and the yields have been amazing. And the good thing about this is that this has solved a lot of our logistics problems, because in the Philippines, our vegetable baskets are quite a big distance. Mm. Some could be 300 kilometers away.
Okay.
That by the time the vegetables get to the market in the city of Manila or Metro Manila, you could have lost about 25 to 40% of the produce because they're in the bottom of the pile and they've been, you know, pounded down after all those kilometers. So we're hoping to reduce wastage, hoping to reduce also carbon footprints,
yeah,
because the logistics behind growing vegetables is kind of high in carbon usage.
And probably bring much fresher produce to the market.
Oh, that's the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Very, very much fresher. And we locate our vertical farms near population centers so that it really doesn't need to travel very far to be eaten.
Fantastic. And I mean, I don't know much about hydroponics, but can this hydroponics be used for all kinds of vegetables, or is it only for specific types of vegetables?
Well, we say aeroponics because it's
aeroponics. Okay,
means the roots are in the water.
Okay,
aeroponics, we spray the roots.
Okay, so can you grow any type of vegetables?
Well, I think it can be used for many of the vegetables that are grown from seed, and then once it's grown, you harvest it, like cabbage.
Wow.
Things like that. But vegetables like tomato plants and all that, I don't know yet. We'll probably figure that one out.
Fair enough. So, Ed, you know, you've been running so many businesses. You've created so many businesses. When you look back at life, what do you think are the most important qualities a CEO should have?
Certainly, I think being flexible mm-hmm. is the number one priority, because you don't have all your ideas. You don't have all the ideas. You cannot be the only solution and problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready to accept new ideas very quickly from other people. And so you have to have enough ego that you can accept other people's ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you have too much ego, I think that's when you become a little close-minded.
Okay.
And in the process, you should be very creative, because all of these ideas are just kernels of a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to nurture the seed so that then you could create new products, new directions, new strategies. So I think those are the important things: is flexibility, creativity, and the ability to listen.
Wonderful. And a follow-up question to that would be that: what do you look for when you hire people?
Okay, I've not been involved in hiring personnel since 1988, but I have set the criteria for hiring, and I think that should be, we need to make sure that the employee to be is hungry, that they have a job. They have grit, meaning they are able to adopt to our company culture, which is a pretty old company in its 70th year. You have to have strategic minds, especially for management, because you have to think beyond what's in front of your nose. And for certain positions, and actually I prefer it for most positions, you have to be creative. You need to be able to improve on the processes that you're doing if you see something that could be improved. So these are the basic criteria that we look for when we hire someone into our company.
Okay. And Ed, you know, we've all been affected by the pandemic. How have your what kind of challenges have your businesses failed in the pandemic?
Oh, wow. So the first thing that we had to do was to quickly reduce our workforce. And Aysan took care of that. He jumped on it real quick. And that was very heart-wrenching because it was sad to lose so many people. And then we had to deal with our various creditors to renegotiate our loans, and we also closed various non-profitable yards. So it was kind of painful, but we had to do it. I mean, we had to make sure we had enough cash to survive this pandemic, and now we're in a good place. So for those companies that didn't react quickly, I think they would be in much deeper trouble now.
So, you know, you and I have spoken quite often, and you are in the process of handing over the reins of your business group to the next generation, to your son. How does it feel to hand over? And what have you gone through while taking this decision?
Well, if I go back to how I started, my father turned it over to me, and I was 1985. So I was like 31. I was already, I started, you know, doing top positions. And then I was president at 33. And my father basically handed it to me, but he came from being an ambassador to the Vatican. So he was already pretty much wasn't interested, and he was 65. So I felt that 65 was a year that I really should be able to turn it over. And so I feel great that I've done so. I have basically turned over fully all operations and management to my son. He's the CEO. And he seems to be running it well and taking it to new directions. I mean, when I took over, I took the company in totally new directions.
Yeah.
So no, my son's doing that same thing. And if I stayed in the company as the CEO, I probably would not have reacted as quickly with this COVID pandemic. I may have actually brought the company down. Okay. So I think transition is very important. And you better hope that you have a good successor.
Wonderful. But, you know, when you hand over to the next generation, and I'm asking this question because a lot of people will be listening to your and my conversation, how much of an involvement do you plan to have in running the business for a finite period of time to ensure that the handover has gone off well?
Well, actually, the handover has been happening for like the last 5 years. I mean, I've been giving him more and more responsibilities, and he has started new companies within the group, and I'm quite happy with what I've seen, and that made me very comfortable in making sure that I basically handed it over. This lockdown period starting last March has actually sealed. I have not really gone to office in all that time. I don't need to go there, but I guess I'll just leave my desk there so that at least there is a semblance of my supposed presence. But I do everything online. We're all working from home. So that's been a good example that it works.
So one more question related to work before I move to the next part. Philippines is a young country. You know, lots and lots of millennials, your children, my children, all millennials. What, in your view, is the manner to manage such millennials and continue to grow?
Well, my children are, two of them are millennials technically. My son though is actually just in the beginning of millennials, so he's a little more old fashioned. My daughter is very millennial, and then I have my 26 year old daughter who's somewhere entering to Generation Z, and 22 year old son. So we've had to pivot our approaches to raising children in real time, because it's been happening rather quickly. So in terms of working with millennials and all of that, it is an education every time and continues to be so. We're constantly looking at and reading up on the types of personalities that make up the new generation. I mean, we are products of parents who fought in World War II. And the strategy post-war was basically survival. So we come from a totally different area. And we grew up at a time with no cellular phones and computers. So we learned, I started using a slide rule for the first time, you know? So I'm gone. There's nothing more, nothing new I could do. I'm a computer science major. But all the language computer programming I used to do is essentially Greek of today, you know, ancient Greek of that. So, yeah, it's we got to be flexible.
Fantastic. So let's move to a few questions for you personally now. You know, Ed, great life, a lot of success. What does success mean to you?
Personal success while I'm alive is not as important as my seeing my success in my children.
Okay.
I believe that my best legacy that I could leave behind are in my children. Mm-hmm. And if I see them grow up to be successful adult children and are recognized by their peers, then I'm happy. That is, to me, very important. I want to see them fully productive, resourceful, and respected by their peers.
Okay.
So that's how I see success.
Wonderful. And my next question is that, where do you draw your inspiration from?
Well, I've always felt that my biggest inspiration was Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
He invented so many things that we are using in the modern world today, from helicopters to tanks to submarines. Mm-hmm. And he always just wrote and said, I just don't have the correct materials to make this thing work.
Correct.
Like he couldn't actually fly an airplane well because he didn't have lightweight aluminum, you know. So all of these things, and he didn't have an internal combustion engine either. But he had the ideas. And I've always felt that having the ability to dream on and create something in your mind is one of the better things to have as being creative. And then, of course, I took inspiration also from my paternal grandfather, who was a doctor, a country doctor, but he was a very stable person. And he always told us moderation is the key to life, a happy life. And then, of course, from my father, who taught me a lot about business and how to do math, actually. And my maternal uncle, who actually inspired me to become a pilot and a mechanic and make things.
Yeah.
So I think those are and the great teachers I have had throughout school.
Fantastic. Thank you. Giving me an interesting segue to my next question. You know, I know you love to do a lot of things with your own hands. You love to build, you're building your own villa up in the mountains, and you keep telling me you're experimenting with various things. What makes you want to do so many things? Is it inspiration from Leonardo da Vinci or your uncle who taught you, you know, that you should fly and do things with your hands?
Yeah, think about Leonardo da Vinci. Why is he my number one inspiration? I've never built my own house. I've always had construction company and architects and engineers do all the planning and computation and stuff. So I figured I may as well try being all of that, all of the above, and do it. And of course, I do have my workers with me, so I'm able to guide, do the elbow grease, I do the thinking.
Sure.
But basically, everything in the house that I'm building in the complexes that I'm building in the mountain are all my idea.
Okay.
My dreams. Wonderful. My daydreams.
Wonderful.
So wonderful. I enjoy that. It's keeping me very
terrific. Terrific. My next question is, you know, Ed, your family is blessed with a lot of centenarians.
Yeah.
probably the most number of people over 100 I have ever known. What is the secret of good health?
Well, let's begin. I've got my mom, who's 101. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, who's 100. Mm-hmm. I have another aunt, a sister of my father, who's 101. Mm-hmm. Their elder brother reached 100. Mm-hmm. She's got two other sisters who are 96 and or 97 and 95. And will most likely hit 100. They seem to be fine. So, yeah, it runs in the blood. My grandfather was 92 when he died. Mm-hmm. I think when I look at them, they ate essentially everything. Mm-hmm. And they drank scotch. Mm-hmm. They love scotch. Okay. They also like wine, but none of them smoked. Mm-hmm. I don't recall anyone smoking except my grandfather smoked cigars. Mm-hmm. So I think the secret to life is a lot to do with socials, having friends, mm-hmm. and a lot, you know, good close friends. And so my aunts have always just been together. Mm-hmm. My mom has had many good friends, although now she's no more because she's the oldest of the friends. Mm-hmm. But also your diet must be something you watch out for. You avoid sugars. I think that's a major source of cancer. Right. Or major cause of cancer is eating a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. But basically, you have to have a spiritual belief in your life. Right. It doesn't have to be religious, but you have to internalize. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise. And you have to eat properly. And avoid trying to get fat, because then you'll mess up your knees, your ankle, your hips, and that doesn't make a very good old age.
Terrific. Given everything that's been happening in the pandemic, and you did mention what is happening in your business and how you had to quickly re-engineer, how are you rethinking your life personally in the new world order?
Are you saying how I'm going to lead
my life? What kind of changes do you think you will make to your own life going ahead?
Oh, I'm okay the way it is. I've always felt that you must always be ready to die. Mm-hmm. And that no regrets when you're in your deathbed. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I always say, at the end of my life, I will be skidding and sliding and saying, what a ride.
Okay, fantastic.
Not think I have any regrets. I'm ready to die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. My children are all grown up. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I think they're all successful in their ways. Mm-hmm. And that keeps me happy. I think there's nothing I would like to do to change myself. Mm-hmm. I would like to learn some more. I may take up some design classes, perhaps, to help me with my creativity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would like to continue growing my knowledge and learning new skills. For now, I'm in construction and I'm learning a lot of new skills. Mm-hmm. I'll get back into metallurgy, make swords and knives. yes. I just like doing that. I'm a mad scientist.
Wonderful. Ed, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success in whatever you do in life going forward. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ashu.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.